much of this year. So I'm going to kind of set the stage for it a bit, and then I trust we'll be able to apply it and bring the gospel into this. So as Dan has mentioned, all the guys have been busy planning for Valentine's tomorrow, and you know, that's great, but I'm going to bring, you know, an aspect of the gospel into this Valentine's season. So let's read starting in verse 6. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. My biggest lesson, by the way, we all want to be lifelong. How many of you see yourself as a lifelong learner? Okay, I'd like to see that percentage a little higher. Okay, well, good. It's changing just before my eyes. That's awesome. Well, I'm going to share with you probably what was my biggest lesson for last year, that I picked up last year. And that is this. Many Christians are living under a self-imposed law and not experiencing the grace and love of God. It's not necessarily a spiritual law that we impose on ourselves. It's a law that has come often out of our past. It's not a law that I don't tithe. I didn't tithe this month, and so I'm a bad person. It's not like something coming out of like an Old Testament passage, or I didn't have my devotions today, so I'm a bad person. It's not that kind of law. The law I'm talking about is often deep in our heart. It's an emotional belief. It's in our emotional belief system. It's a law that we believe that subconsciously we need to follow to make us acceptable, to make us an acceptable person. The law is chosen as an attempt to keep us from being off the mark. Let me give, by the way, that Romans 5:8, that word sinners, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That word sinners, if you look it up, it talks about being off the mark. It's often a military term, I think, in its history. It had been used as a military term or an archery term. So you pull back your bow, you shoot, and you miss the bullseye. You are hamartolos or something, whatever the Greek word is there. You're off the mark. And as a general rule, we learn what makes us acceptable when we are young. The environment we grow up in, the experiences of childhood, trauma events, plant in us emotional convictions that teach us what we must do or what we must not do to be acceptable. Without knowing it, we make a rule for ourselves that we unknowingly strive to keep. And we believe that if we keep that law, we will be an acceptable person. In essence, what we are doing is saying, this is what makes me acceptable if I keep this law. Let me give you some examples. So one person I worked with in this last while has been a missionary and still is a missionary all their life. I mean, all their adult life. Had a stellar missionary career. Would put their missionary career up against anybody. Fantastic. But coming about a couple of years from retirement, has suddenly plunged into a deep, deep, deep despair. Darkness, blackness is how they described it. So we started unpacking that when we talked it over. And it took a while to get there, but we found the law that this person's living by. And that law was this: I'm acceptable when I'm fixing things. So this person grew up in a home where there was conflict between a brother and parents, and this person was the fixer. always fixing things in the home. And gained their acceptance and commendations as a young person by fixing things, by being the oil in the gears, as it were. And in that experience became convinced that that's the law they needed to live by, though they didn't realize it at the time. And so this person has spent their whole life fixing things, fixed all kinds of problems, even big spiritual problems, worldwide issues, has fixed them. But you know what? This person all along could never enjoy prayer. Whole missionary career, basically, couldn't enjoy prayer. Came to realize, thought God only wanted to talk to her when she was fixing things. And if she wasn't about praying about fixing things, God didn't really want to spend much time with her. That law, as she looked back, actually had set the whole course of her life in many ways. Worked with a young man who is probably one of the smartest, most talented young men I've ever met. But he was having panic attacks. Whatever area of his life he applied in, academics, sports, arts, he would be better than everybody else. And it was just a natural talent. And I could tell you story after story, just and it would blow you away, but I'm just saying by now, this was his life. And I'm looking at his life and I'm thinking, man, I would like to have some of that. But there he was, having panic attacks. And we got to the law that he had somehow come to believe in his life. And what he had come to believe is, I'm acceptable when I'm better than everybody else without trying. And he came up against an instance where he wasn't better than everybody else without trying, and it threw him to the deepest part of his being, saying, I can't be acceptable. I'm not better than everybody else without trying. One more, or a couple more. One person I've been working with said, I can't be acceptable unless my wife is happy with me. Well, we all want our wives happy with us, guys, right? You know, we do. But this went to another level. And the person has ended up living his life in eggshells, on eggshells. Another person, I'm acceptable when I'm perfect. And I'll give a little more detail on that. But how would you answer that question? I am acceptable when? Interesting question. You might want to roll around your head sometime and try to get past the gospel and the Sunday school answer. I mean, ultimately, that's the great answer. But a lot of times we believe, actually deep in our spirit, we believe something different. I'm acceptable when? How would you answer that question? Well, that's the thing that I've been learning this last year. And now, I also see that this self-imposed law drives our behavior and unconscious expectations in our marriage, and often forming demands of our spouse that they've never been designed to meet. So, just give you this last year, I've been dealing with some people, and in one way or another, either the one I'm dealing with or their spouse has this issue going on about being off the mark. And it takes a toll on the marriage. So one person who believes I'm acceptable when I'm perfect, and the people in my life are perfect. So this person has spent his time exerting constant pressure on his wife and children to be perfect, whatever the situation is. And he's realized that at the bottom of it, he's doing it so he can look acceptable to everybody else. But he's living by that law. This individual who says, I'm acceptable only when my spouse is happy with me, has led him to be passive about speaking up with his side in the marriage. And even when his spouse is directly at fault for how things went wrong, she puts it on him and he hasn't spoke up. Well, it's peace in the minute, but later on, that's not good for a marriage. Another pastor I've been working with has been dealing with this in his own life. It is, I'm acceptable when people think well of me and I look good to them. How this has affected his marriage. He wants to, you know, really look good to the people in his congregation, so he wants to be a hospitable pastor. Well, his wife's gift is probably not hospitality. So he is embarrassed of her cooking and cleaning skills. She's more relaxed about having people over. And he wants to have everything just so because it makes him look bad. And at the root of this problem, he has not experienced the gospel of grace to the base of his heart. Now, we want to help things go well in our homes. I'm not saying don't be hospitable or just don't put effort into your hospitality. Please don't hear that. But what I'm saying is there's an issue, there's a law he's living by in his heart that is driving his marriage and his ministry in very negative directions. There are needs of feeling accepted that our spouse can help us with, and they can do a lot on that, no doubt. But there is a deeper level, I believe, that only Jesus Christ and his wonderful gospel can meet. And as the gospel goes deep, it brings a release, which I will tell you a little bit more about. But it is in the gospel where this deepest need is truly satisfied. God demonstrates his own love for us. While we are still sinners, Christ died for us. He demonstrated. This word is to show, to make clearly known, to cause something be known by action. Some of you like words of affirmation. Some of you, words don't mean so much. You want to see it in action. Well, God's love was that of action. But when did this action take place? This action took place when you, my friend, were off the mark. You were accepted when you were off the mark. When you took a shot at life and you missed the target, he still accepted you and loved you and demonstrated it to you through the death of Christ. When you were off the mark, you were loved and accepted by Christ. So many of these self-imposed laws we give ourselves are simply our attempt to keep us, to make us acceptable, even though we know we missed the mark. And they want these laws, we try to use them to keep us from missing the mark. And the beauty of the gospel is that you were made acceptable when you were still missing the mark. Being loved by God, being accepted, has nothing to do with you hitting the target. Before you could hit the target, before you could even pull back the bow and shoot the arrow, you were loved. God didn't wait for you to hit the mark before he loved you. You are loved and accepted even when you're off the mark. So once this is accepted, this frees you on many levels. And I'm going to mention four ways this can impact your marriage. There are four freedoms that can come to you and your marriage because of this. One, from expecting things of your spouse they cannot give. If you do this, you can imply or even say to your spouse, I'll feel good about myself. Well, again, there's balance in that, but I'm just saying sometimes there are deeper things that God can reach that your spouse can't. And we can end up being demanding and frustrated in our marriage. We anticipated, you know, we go through life wanting to be accepted, and we anticipated when we got married, that problem is finally dealt with once and for all. And a lot of times, a lot of that is dealt with on many levels, but sometimes there's a deeper issue that only God can accept or God can make. There is a depth of grace and acceptance in my life, I believe, that only God can give. And pressuring your spouse or expecting your spouse to provide that what only God can give will drive your marriage in a negative direction. Put unwarranted pressure on your spouse. So the gospel can keep you from expecting things of your spouse they can't give. Second, from being guilt-ridden when we can't meet all our spouse's deepest needs. We want to keep growing and being a better spouse as we go through life. But sometimes we can fall into the trap. It depends on your personality type, but sometimes you can fall into the trap. My spouse is unhappy, therefore, and I'm not meeting their needs the way they want, I'm a bad person. Well, sometimes you're carrying guilt that isn't yours to carry. There's a deep need that only God can meet. And understanding that can bring you some freedom. Also, freedom to relax when your spouse isn't as perfect as you want them to be. When our sense of being well-being isn't directly tied with how our spouse is treating us, we can be free to live with more joy and confidence. We can have a bad day and still have a peaceful heart. The power of the gospel. And also it gives freedom to speak up when dishonoring is taking place. There are people who struggle with acceptance and sometimes find it hard to speak up when there's an issue that needs to be dealt with in the marriage. There needs to be communication. But out of this can come a new inner courage where a person believes, I'm as loved and valued as my spouse. My perspective is as important to theirs, so therefore I can speak up. This can be very revolutionary for a marriage. Revolutionary for both, for the spouse who was used to just saying it and having it go their way, and revolutionary for the person who's starting to learn to speak up. So my point is, the gospel can free you from demanding things of your spouse they were never meant to give. The gospel can free you from demanding things of your spouse they were never meant to give. So first of all, I'd say ask God to reveal to you if you've been living under some kind of law rather than grace. Answer that question. I am acceptable when? If you can answer that, you know, all of a sudden it'll click, that's it. You know, a lot of times when I work with people, we circle around and we get close and we get almost there, and then all of a sudden there's that one statement and they say, that's it. So it may take some time. But ask God to show you if you're living under the law rather than grace. Second, release your spouse from demands that they make you feel acceptable on the deepest level. Release them from that. And release yourself from needing to be that for your spouse. And ask that God would help them grow in a deeper understanding of that. And lastly, I'd encourage you, make Romans 5:8 a year-long meditation. If you think this is it, make Romans 5:8 a year-long meditation. One person I'm working with, or a few people I've worked with, I've got them to write Romans 5:8 out on these little sticky notes. Have some in your pocket. Whenever you reach into your pocket, you're reminded, God demonstrated his love for me while I was still a sinner. Christ died for me. While I was off the mark, he died for me. He loved me. Every time they put their hand in the pocket, they're reminded. For some, I've had them put sticky notes around in their house with that, and they're just reminded. And it often takes a long time to get it from the head to the heart, but God can do that. You know, earlier in this text, in verse 5, it says, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. It's through the Holy Spirit that this revelation takes place. And there's been one individual I've been working with and praying for that this would go deep in the heart. And they've been meditating on the scriptures and things. But they just recently told me that One night, very recently, they had a dream. And it was on a significant date in their personal history. And in that dream, they understood the love of God in a whole new level. The Holy Spirit can take this beautiful truth that we have often struggled with all our life to a whole new level. So I'm interested to see how that's going to work out in that person. But I want you to know, the gospel can free you from demanding things of your spouse. So I'm guessing that here today, I think a large percentage of God's people actually are living by some kind of law that they established when they were young, where they decide, I am acceptable when. And that law probably is a little bit out of step with the gospel. It's a law that you decided, I need to do that to make myself hit the mark. And it's probably good in many ways. But on the deepest level, only the gospel can reach our deepest need for love and acceptance. So I want to encourage you, I've asked the worship team to have a couple songs on love. And if you're sensing this is an issue with you, just pray, Lord, Holy Spirit, would you take that deeper? Would you take that deeper? And make that your prayer as you go through your life, because this can revolutionize your life. Should that deep knowledge of love and acceptance go to the deepest part of your being? Worship team, please.
Thank you, Linda, and I'll invite you to stand as we close with the love of God. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty bear bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure.